Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber, StuWeb.com, and it is Tuesday, January the 5th, 2021. And I have the honor to have on Dr. Lieutenant Army Intelligence, U.S. Federal Whistleblower, Scott Bennett, whose attorney happens to be Sidney Powell, General Flynn's attorney as well. And with that said, Scott was brought to me by Cynthia McKinney, former congresswoman, is how I was introduced years ago to him. Now, he spent 38 and a half months in a federal prison illegally because he worked in the same building with Snowden, Ed Snowden, who had just blown the whistle on some things. But you took a lot of heat. You're still taking a lot of heat, aren't you, Scott?
And well, we're in the fight, Stu, and this is the time where real men make a stand and take their survival gear and go off into the field and engage the enemy. And I think we are on that verge right now. So this is the time for real Americans to stand. This is the time for real warriors to stand, those who've been in the military and even those who have not. And we've never faced a time like we are right now. And we're seeing this country separate between really the brave and the cowards, the slaves and the free men, the COVID-19 paranoid, mask-wearing simpletons, and those who refuse to wear masks and refuse to be subjected to this massive psyop and recognize it for what it is, a dehumanizing exercise of power, political power, that was specifically meant to camouflage the introduction of the mail-out ballots to overwhelm the system and thereby provide the smokescreen for the Chinese Communist Party algorithm manipulations and all of the other fraud and acts of treason that we witnessed on November 3rd. So people have woken up to that. It's taken a year to really see all this stuff manifest. We knew it was happening before that with all of the prosecutions of Trump and such, but now it's coming to a head like never before. So people have to psychologically prepare themselves to really engage in defensive fights against lunatics who have no moral conscience and who have only a desire to rob, kill, and destroy, to smash and destroy property of people, to really engage in acts of rage and madness and camouflage that as political liberalism, as progressivism, or any other fancy word the devil gives to characterize evil and wickedness. So this is the time to stand up and be prepared, and I think you're going to witness a lot of left-wing progressive Antifa types overstepping their bounds. They're going to essentially, as we used before, Stu, the World War I scenario of men jumping over the trench and running at the machine guns, I'm afraid that's what the liberal leftist progressives are going to be doing. They're going to be leaping out of their trenches, i.e. Starbucks or Walmart or wherever they are, or their unemployment lines where they get food stamps or things like that. They're going to be leaping out of their trenches and running like mad demoniacs at the conservatives who are simply standing at post and ready to defend themselves and their family. And inevitably, you're going to have two choices: be overrun by them and destroyed by them, or defend yourself and destroy your attackers. And I think it's going to be the latter.
I'm pretty much in agreement with you. I mean, there are these, I don't know what's gone on, but you know, they threatened Antifa, threatened Senator Josh Hawley with death threats. And then a couple of weird things have happened here in Independence, Missouri, at the Independence Mall, it's called, shopping center. They've had some shootings going on in the parking lot and inside the mall. Like it's been, they put curfew on kids and the whole bit, probably gang members, could be some of the others. But they've had three shootings, and they had another one. Someone shot in the head and killed, or not dead, I guess they're dead. But they had on the news the past couple of days of this activity. And what was weird, Scott, is where that Independence Mall was. I happened to be driving on I-70 just going past the mall, the exit at 470 on I-70, and I'm going west, and I'm in the middle lane. I'm traffic doing about 65 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I look in my rearview mirror, and I'm going, what in the hell? And I'm seeing these cars darting in and out between cars. One barely clipped me, almost clipped me, cut in front of me. I'm looking in my rearview mirror, and I'm seeing another 20 of them coming at me. I said, Jesus Christ. And there was two pickup trucks to my right, and I put my signal on, and the guy let me in front of it, where I was squeezed in between the two pickup trucks and opened up that middle lane. They went nuts. They were running 120 miles an hour. I mean, the whole freeway was pulling off to the side. It was bad. I believe it was gang-related, and I think there was a car chase, and one was several were chasing the other. But there could have been terrorists out there on the street, but I never seen anything like that. But it came
well,
from
see,
that
that's,
same
that's what they're going to be in, you know, that's what they're going to be engaging is in domestic terrorism, in acts of traumatizing and terrorizing and scaring the civilian population. It's very easy to scare sheep. It's very easy to scare docile, simpleton weaklings and retards that think life consists of going over and beating the shit out of Middle Eastern regimes and calling yourself tough and then creating a national policy where you stab scissors into women's wombs and cut up babies and call it abortion or call it free choice. Engage in rainbow flag homosexual marriages and call it natural, engage in transgender sexual castration and super gluing of male parts on women and calling it your choice to redefine yourself, all of that has a cost, and God is not pleased with any of that, and I think he removes his spirit and pulls back, and that's what we're witnessing in the madness and the insanity that is creeping into America. This has all been sown by liberals and progressives and leftists and weakling people in the church, the cowardly, effeminate beta male pastors, and the weakling Republicans. So we've sown this crop of evil and madness and the weakness, and it makes people very schizophrenic and nervous and angry, and that's what you're seeing manifesting. So they're going to begin to feed on themselves and tear themselves apart and engage in all sorts of violence. But we as conservatives have a duty, like Moses leaving Egypt, to come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out of these political entities and form new communities and new towns and new peoples and new neighborhoods and cut off your ties with these idiots who have a sympathy for Antifa or Black Lives Matter or all this other stuff because they're no good anyway. So this is really a divide in the sand like we've never seen before, but I think only the acts of evil and madness and terrorism that the left and the progressives are going to engage in is going to be sufficient to wake this country up. And those who don't wake up, you know, there's no middle ground, Stu. You're either on the side of shooting and killing by all means necessary the bad guys who are running out of their trench and running at you with bayonets and pitchforks and baseball bats and every other weapon with the intention of clubbing and killing you, raping your children, burning down your house, taking your property. That's their agenda. So you either defend against them and kill them, or you're killed by them. And if anybody is in between and stuck in the middle and doesn't know what to do and doesn't have a weapon and doesn't know which side they're on, they're just they're impediments and blockages.
I'll tell them how to take care of that problem. They don't have weapons and all. Hey, go get yourself a gallon of bleach and go get yourself a gallon of ammonia and fill a bunch of those dollar bottles that break real easy, water. Okay, you fill two or three of them, four of them with ammonia, and you fill two or three or four of them with bleach. And what you do is, as an example, and they're coming down the street, bang the spot on the ground with ammonia, and then hit it with bleach and run like hell. You created a gas that'll take them out in case you don't have any weapons. I mean, there's all kinds of simple household items you can do. So remember, when you're pouring your stuff, don't pour in the same sink together.
Right.
Now, you talk about these I've had talks with people here in Kansas City, and if it breaks out and they go into Country Club Plaza again, Black Lives Matter, rob and loot and terrorize, there's going to be snipers out there blowing off their private parts so they can't reproduce and to leave them for the cops to pick up and arrest. That's the word on the streets in Kansas City. And I hear it's about the same word across this nation.
Well, I would say, thankfully, Kansas City and, you know, the Midwest has a different breed. It's a different metal of American, and I think it's far superior because it's got the traditional family values and humility and honor of God and love of country. We've lost a lot of that in the Pacific Northwest. We've lost that in the New York East Coast areas and some of these you know, other places. But the Midwest is really the heart of the country, and I don't think anyone with a brain is going to engage in volatile activities in the Midwest or in the mountainous regions without understanding that they're going to come, they're not going to walk away, they're going to be wheeled away in a wheelbarrow in body parts.
Well, that's probably pretty true, because down there in Colorado Springs, I think it was, or Pebble, when they said they were going to show up at 9 o'clock and have a meeting, a bunch of Black Lives Matter, this was a year ago or so, a year and a half, there 400 people came out toting rifles and guns and walked up to them and told them to leave. They did.
Yeah. And see, from a PSYOP perspective, I'm always thinking about how do we go into their ranks and peel away the good ones or the decent ones, or at least the non-combative ones. How do we peel away and divide and conquer? And there are multiple personalities that are associated with these groups, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and it requires sort of an analytics. But you've got the far left crazy lunatic full of bloodlust and drugs and insanity. But then you have the other phases of just wanting to be involved in something, having such a lack of knowledge and passion and sort of, you know, disjointed from reality, people that just want to be part, but are very quickly persuaded out of it when there comes potential kinetic defensive operations. So we always have to provide the bridge to remove these people and say, you know, look, Black lives do matter. And so do Mexican lives, Hispanic lives, so do Asian lives, so do white lives, so do red lives. All lives matter. And yes, there may be issues and circumstances where people are abused by police, but that is not fixed by defunding the police. It puts these communities of color in danger, if you will, these black areas especially. They're the ones who suffered in the Detroit riots. They're the ones who suffer in the Compton riots. They're the ones who suffer in the Kenosha riots. So, you know, this whole animosity is very, very shallow, but it requires sort of the blacks coming into their own and speaking on their own to weaken this. And there are a lot of them doing that. There are a lot of them. I mean, there's lots and lots of black people at these Trump rallies that are firmly on the side of Republican conservative Trumpism, and you see that. So the illusion that we're a racist country is precisely that, a divide and conquer tactic that the Chinese Communist Party, which is really behind a lot of this stuff, has been trying to do traditionally for the last 70 years. They've been trying to exploit. Hitler did it in World War II, and the Japanese, in fact, did it against the British in World War II in their PSYOP campaigns. It's easy to break up a body, a political body or an alliance, when you sow discord among racial or ethnic or tribal lines. So that's where the Constitution comes in. And as we know as conservatives, we don't judge people or are prejudicially disposed. We honor people by their talent, by their character, and by their ability to, socialize and conduct themselves on a similar level. There is a tribalism, but it's not a color or ethnic or tribal one. It's a philosophical one.
That's true. You know, I've got a lot of black listeners, and I know that because I've been approached in Kansas City by two of them. And after hearing my voice or seeing my face, whichever it was, but I've got them around the country. So do you, Scott. I mean,
well,
you
we were
in
the military, Stu. You know, in the military, there are no blacks or whites or any other color.
No.
There's just soldiers and Marines who are called to serve in duty, and to protect your life, you have to, you know, have a kinship and a camaraderie and an affection with all kinds of soldiers. So it doesn't exist in the military, and you know, that's what real leadership translates into. And I think we're going to witness that. I think we're really going to witness, starting tomorrow, you're going to see more people descend on their capitals from all over the country, and I'll be at Sacramento, and you will see tens of thousands of Americans coming out with displays of anti-fascism and anti-Democrat mask wearing and proclamations of Trump's victory, stop the steal. This really will be a confederation of the clans, if you will, from every group. I mean, you'll even see, I think, a lot of the, you know, gays for Trump and stuff assembling, and that's okay. It's like Reagan said, whoever's, you know, wants to donate and be on my side, fine. Doesn't mean we're going to go that way politically or adopt those philosophies, but, you know, we want the enemy of my enemy is my friend attitude, and the next phase is going to be the absolute annihilation and prosecution of these progressive liberal leftist traitors. And I think there should be, of course, arrest warrants out for George Soros. There are a lot of military activities going on, so people are prepared. But I think these next 4 years, we're going to see a period of civil war and unrest and madness for probably 1 to 6 months. And people need to be prepared for that, but it also needs to be crushed overwhelmingly. Otherwise, you'll have a repeat in the summertime when the weather warms up. You'll have a repeat. And you know, Stu, you can't tolerate a mad dog. You can't tolerate an enemy. You can't leave a mad dog that is frothing at the mouth and howling and barking and biting itself. You can't confine it to a certain part of your yard, because it's eventually going to get in your house and kill you and your children. So when you see that you have one option: drive it out entirely into the wilderness and protect yourself so it can never enter in again, or kill it, put it down. And I'm in favor of the latter.
I'm in agreement with you. Now, I think you've kind of summarized pretty much what we're going to face. But also, I speculate that there's going to be prosecution of a lot of people pertaining to voter fraud between about the 6th and the 20th. That's just my speculation. I think Len Wood, and I think that Sidney Powell, your attorney, will probably be the ones that will be doing it, with certain people in the military and the Justice Department combined. All he said is that, whether you make any kind of official comment.
I can say I was part of General Flynn and Sidney Powell and Patrick Byrne's team of military and cryptologists and intelligence officials that was back in Washington, D.C., and the evidence that I saw and heard and the testimony and the affidavits that I witnessed were overwhelming. And I made some videos myself and sent them to members of Congress, and I just put it up on our YouTube channel, since it's been processed, so I wanted to get it out there. I couldn't do it before because we had to keep everything sort of tight. But,
what is your YouTube channel? What's your YouTube channel, Scott?
Well, you can just go to Nexus Strategic Analytics, and it should pop up on YouTube.
Strategic Analytics, okay.
And the Twitter feed is Nexus Think Tank. The website, the easiest thing is just go to the website, and it's shellgamewhistleblower.com.
Shellgamewhistleblower.com.
Yeah. Okay. So Sidney Powell and General Flynn and Patrick Byrne have all of this material. It has been weaponized into legal filings, and it will be acted upon from a variety of prosecutorial angles, military and civilian, and you will have people arrested and charged, and some have already been, and that includes members of Congress And I think you're going to have really an overwhelming tsunami of justice between January 7th and March 4th. That's when things are really going to get hot. And the other thing is, too, people should not expect that there's going to be an inauguration on January 20th. There's always a chance, but I don't think it will, because Donald Trump is not going to concede. And some of these maneuvers require some more flexible time, and it also requires a divorcement from the standard calendar to demonstrate that this is not a typical year. This is not a typical election. This is not just a disagreement. This is an act of fraud and espionage and an act of war that was committed against the United States of America by the Chinese Communist Party and certain agents and bagmen that include some of the people in the highest levels of the American government. Let's not forget the Chinese Communist Party partnered with Union Bank of Switzerland to buy the Dominion voting machines through a company called Staple Street Capital. That's not well known to most Americans, but you can put the Lego blocks together. So you see Chinese Communist Party as the foundation, and then added onto that was Union Bank of Switzerland, which is notorious for funding the Clinton Foundation, funding the Obama-Biden administration, engaging in terrorist financing, money laundering money for Qatar and Saudi Arabia in the wars in Syria and Libya and Iraq, as well as operations for the MEK and the Iranian Congress, which have been used by CIA, Mossad, and MI6 to try and overthrow Iran, much to their failure for the last 40 years. But that's Union Bank of Switzerland. So the Chinese Communist Party made a partnership with UBS and purchased Dominion voting machines and Premier voting machines and a third one, ES&S, I believe it was. And they essentially monopolized the entire voting machine market in the United States and then introduced the algorithms which had been developed earlier by John Brennan, Barack Obama, John McCain was part of this, and Mitt Romney knew about this. Mitt Romney, in fact, should go to jail for treason because he participated in knowing that the Dominion voting machines at the time had been compromised. So the Republican National Committee had engaged in a fraud, and by allowing this to go forward. All this stuff is not well known at all by people, but I saw it when I was in Washington, and it blew me away. And it infuriated me, unlike anything has ever infuriated me before. And if every American knew what I knew, they would immediately turn their flags upside down to demonstrate a nation in distress and depict that no election since 2016 actually 2017, is legitimate. No election since 2017 is legitimate because, in addition, the National Institute of Standards and Technology failed to do the required technical accreditation of these voting machines. And that's another layer of the cake. So the Chinese Communist Party and UBS and Dominion voting machines and a lot of these American personnel, John Brennan, and others are guilty of treason, and they should be executed for treason. And these people that have been aiding and abetting them in the media, really, I've said it before, the countermeasure needs to be the president needs to have military officers from the Pentagon visit, you know, these news offices and go in uniform, you know, the majesty and the shock and awe effect that has, too. When military, and I'm not talking just average dickheads, I'm talking about crisp, sharp, the smartest Marines and the smartest Army guys you could imagine that have a certain bravado about them. Hell, they could even go in undercover and pretend they're lawyers, make them PSYOP guys or Rangers or Special Forces, the smart ones. and they can go into Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon's office and all these other mainstream media and say, Mr. Lemon, I am United States Major, Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel, Captain. I've got some questions for you. You and I need to sit down. Come with me, please. And not ask questions and not ask for invitation or sips of coffee with your pinky raised, but get your ass out of your office and follow me. There's a national security issue that you are being implicated with. And sit these bastards down and install the fear of God in them with a dramatized interrogation that terrifies Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon and the rest of them like they've never had before. And if their lawyers want to show up, fine, let them show up. And then just bitch slap these lawyers at the same time. That's the other thing, Stu, that needs to be known by people. The lawyers around the President of the United States, according to Patrick Byrne and Sidney Powell and General Flynn, are failing miserably in misguiding the President in a vain attempt to have him concede. Mark Meadows and Pat Cipollone have been trying to push the President to concede in exchange for promises of their own economic and professional advancement. And that is an act of treason as far as I'm concerned. We've spoken with lawyers about it excessively, and there's no excuse for that. And by the way, the President did appoint Sidney Powell as a White House special prosecutor, special investigator, special counsel. That happened 2 weeks ago on Friday, where the President sat down with Sidney and he said, okay, Sidney, I'm going to make you White House special counsel. And Pat Cipollone jumps up and starts, you know, spinning his head around and says, well, we can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I can do it, and I am doing it, and I'm giving her a clearance. So the President of the United States appointed Sidney Powell to be White House special counsel, period. It happened. It's done. Now, these little bastards in the White House are refusing to let her into an office, refusing to give her a name tag, refusing to do the requisite paperwork. So as far as I'm concerned, they're traitors and they need to be removed. Now, I understand the games of diplomacy and the President can only tackle so much, but this is the real nitty-gritty. This is where the rubber meets the road, Stu, is when these little bastards are around the President and are undermining him. They're undermining the entire nation and everybody that voted for them. So things could get very, very ugly quickly because, again, this is not about President Trump. This is not about him. This is about the Constitution and the integrity of this country. And this is about standing up to tyranny and killing anybody that tries to impose tyranny through the false the false laws and excuses of COVID-19 or vaccinations or isolating people in their homes or shutting down businesses that aren't essential and then shutting down all businesses. Those acts of tyranny, if they were done to us by a foreign invading army of Chinese soldiers, we'd be out throwing rocks and killing them every way we could. And yet it's being done to us by the Chinese agents like Gavin Newsom and Whitmer and Cuomo, and people are tolerating it. So there's going to come a moment where people are going to overthrow these people, perhaps violently, and in a way I would hope violently, because sometimes there needs to be a French Revolution, but with liberty and God and family and freedom at the heart of the purpose for that revolution. The blood of patriots has to water the tree of liberty. And we've had a desert and a dry season for 40 years of prosperity and leisure and riches and baseball games and drunken orgies of every description. America has fast become Sodom and Gomorrah of leisure. And I think God is taking away all of those idols at the hands of the Democrats to show people just how much they have lost. And it's dehumanized a lot of people, but it's also invigorated a lot of people. So this is what we need to witness and expect. The rise of the patriotic, invigorated warrior types. And when I say warrior, I don't mean necessarily a 25-year-old guy. I mean a 13, 14-year-old boy or girl that have been raised by good parents that know how to shoot, know how to fight, and have the will and constitution to do it. I'm talking about an 85, 90-year-old senior citizen who has a similar constitution because they think the best of this country, and they're not going to let it go. They're going to fight to the death for the time they have left to secure it for their future generations. That's where this country needs to go, in a militarized a rising of patriots of every age, every ethnicity and tribe to stand against these bureaucrats of tyranny. And the police, if they're smart, will stand down and not get in the way of the patriots, because they will be taken out as enemy combatants if they try and shut down patriots who are defending themselves.
I'm pretty much in agreement with you, Scott. Yeah. You know, the power of God is phenomenal, and you know that. And I know that I've been praying for warring angels to go after the enemy and expose them all out. And Mitt Romney, McConnell, I mean, the list goes on of these wackos. And you were talking about, you know, let me add a scripture real quick, and then I want to talk about this Chinese connection, see if it rings any bells. It says that everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. It's, amen. I can't. And it's ECCLESIASTES 3:1. Now, we're in that season. And I see it. It is a division. And I'll tell you, you know, I've heard, you know, the past 20 years, end time prophecies and so many other things. I know the Bible's been changed. I've put Joel, he's an expert on this, and so is Professor Paul, Professor Joel. And they're both experts in the area of dispensationalism and so forth. And I believe that there are things that in the Schofield Bible, they've been changed, New Testament, et cetera.
Right.
Even
right.
James Version, okay? We have that. But a lot of it's the enemy that was plotting in their little time frame because of this invasion of the fallen angels. And I try to explain that it is real because Otis knew about it. He said that under the 1952 to 2012 alien agreement, that they made the agreement, you know, they would give us invisibility, time travel, and flying saucers. And they did. John Lear, who owned Lear Jets, sold it in 1952 and took the contract to build the flying saucers. And he built 150 of them. Because I've had John Lear, who was a CIA test pilot and was a pilot in Vietnam as well for the military. You know, he made Art Bell famous coming out about the saucers on I forgot the other guy's name, about the base on the moon and the base on Mars. Now, Otis told me that the government had registered with the NSA, and you can probably confirm it with General Powell and others, that there was 200,000 of them that are alien-possessed human beings on the planet that had to be registered. That was the agreement. And he said, you were right about Hope, Arkansas, Stu. They cloned over 10 million people in Hope, Arkansas since 1948. There's a secret base down there. They brought the scientists over from the Germans. Now, I'm aware that Germany made the first connection with the fallen angels. They put it into effect because they had the saucers. Admiral Byrd talked about it, into the South Pole, lost 2,000 men and got two ships out of there because they were shooting guns at them. They had 50 calibers on those saucers, and they weren't hitting too straight, but some of that activity went on. Now, he testified in secret, wrote a book later called The Hall Earth. So I know a few things about this alien agenda and alien connection. Now, when I talked to Super Spook Otis Johnson, which he is on my radio bar, folks, I taped him one time because there was a hit on me and a hit on him and so forth. But he mentioned going back to Bluffdale, Utah. Now, when I was remodeling a house, he got me a contract on. I remodeled his house and as well, but I don't remember the exact time frame, but I think it was around 2006 or 8, 2008 maybe, 6, that I was up in Hastings, Nebraska, doing both whole houses. it was one time frame, and then another, he got me another contract. So I could pick up 50 grand in 6 months later. Anyway, I'm up there, and I put him on an airplane at Grand Island, Nebraska. General Flynn stepped off the airplane, saluted, and he saluted back and got on the airplane with Flynn. Now, he went to Bluffdale. He says, you're right. Six floors below ground, he says, artificial intelligence beyond computers is what he called it. But he said the alien base right next to it, they build an alien base on the south side. Okay, now this alien thing is the 200 fallen angels. Now the Bible in Genesis talks about it, Scott, about a third of the angels, estimated million fell. So that's about 333,000. But there's 200,000 that are registered with the NSA, and they've cloned. Now, you know, the cloning thing, God doesn't get along with it. There's no soul and there's no conscience.
Yeah.
To these people. Now, as an example, the guy that tried to murder me, he supposedly went back to Kenya, but he didn't. He's Division Number 5, FBI crowd, terrorizes websites for the government. It was Kenyan. And you can see that it was a hit, that the police department did cover it up, folks, and it's on stuweb.com. Just look for the crashed fan. I broke my neck permanently. Now, that was the first attempt of three in a year. Long story. They were trying to put me out of business. There was a guy, Scott, about 2 years ago, went down and shot, maybe 2.5 years ago, went down and shot 5 Louisiana cops. You remember that? He was from Kansas City.
Okay.
I looked him up. I looked him up on the internet, looked up his picture after seeing, you know, his name and all, and look up, and I see the guy that tried to kill me with his arm around that guy, and they both had a shirt on. I still have that picture. But I called up Otis, and I said, Otis, I said, the guy that just shot up the cops in Louisiana, I said, he was from Kansas City. I said, I just looked up his picture. Guess what? He's got his arm around the guy that tried to murder me, that were gang stalking for the government. He goes, do you know where he went? I said, did he stop in Dallas? He says, yeah, they put him in the chair in Dallas, E-Systems. Put him in the chair and mind controlled him before he went down there to kill those people. Now, E-System was owned by Raytheon. Raytheon is owned by Bush Sr., George Herbert Walker Bush. Rumor has it he's in Paraguay alive. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But here's something I want to add, whether you have any knowledge of this. You talked about Dominion Software. Are you aware that Norman Brownstein incorporated the Dominion Software in Denver, Colorado?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, Brownstein is an APEC director. He was Daddy Bush's CI counsel, one of 6 CI counsels. What happened was, he gets out of law school in 72, him and Larry Mizell, and Milman set Mizell up, they were both lawyers, sets Mizell up in the building because he had unlimited money out of HUD and everything else, because they were robbing HUD, the biggest piggy bank, which, by the way, AIMCO in Denver has 500,000 apartment units, each apartment being a unit. And after I exposed them, they reduced it down to 300,000, sold them off to other corps. Here's the point. Brownstein, Mizell gets into building apartments. Then he wants a spinoff. Milman says, yeah, they create Richmond American Homes, a subsidiary of MDC Holdings. MDC Holdings, that's Zip and Brownstein buying. MDC was the parent company of Silverado Savings and Loan, which I collapsed, basically, with the former university or current University of Missouri Kansas City law professor, Bill Black. And I've had him on. He's on the radio bar talking about how he couldn't hardly do anything. Now, Brownstein and Mizell both were on the board of directors at Silverado because they owned it with Milman, my former, my ex-witch doctor's father. Silverado was the money launderer for Bill Clinton and for Iran-Contra. And they laundered it through HSBC Bank. It went over to Hong Kong. First, it went to Isle of Jersey, John Dix. And it's written about in the book, Mafia, CIA, and George Bush by Peter Burton. I gave him the Silverado connection and the Chicago connection. Now, Brownstein goes to work for Milman as one of the attorneys for 3 years. Then he ends up one of six CI counsel to Daddy Bush when he was CI director. Underneath him was a guy named Robert Johnson, CI Robert Johnson attorney, a.k.a. Bill Barr, former United States Attorney General underneath Daddy Bush and was just underneath fucking Trump up. Now, Bill Barr is the one that said, attack Panama illegally. And it was only the two hotels they nationalized because Bush was trying to screw them over in the whole bit. It's all clustered, but the same Chinese company tied to, there was a company that busted up, Scott, in 97, called about $5 billion to investors. But that was the way they shoved the telecommunication company into a bigger holding company, and that holding company owns the Panama Canal as a result of that invasion. Eventually, they took it over. But what Hildebeest was setting up in Little Rock, Arkansas, and laundered her money up to Silverado, was she was creating trusts, foreign trusts, China trusts, foreign trusts. And Scott, where she was getting it from was an agent of the Chinese Red Army named Patrick Fung. Patrick Fung ran Worthington Bank of Little Rock, Arkansas, the Chinese connection to the drugs that were coming in. And he's supplying Hildebeest with these foreign Chinese registered trusts, and then they would be passed from Hildebeest, Hillary Clinton, a.k.a. Hildebeest, up to Norman Brownstein, which sat on the board of directors of Milman's company and Silverado. Now, today, Brownstein and Larry Mizell runs today HSBC Bank, which is Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corp, a division of Great West Life Insurance of Denver, which is a division of Power Financial of Canada, the largest bank in Canada, which was the old Meyer Lansky Jewish crime syndicate mafia that passed on to Lucky Luciano and my ex-wife's father, Leonard Milman. And when Milman died in 2004, I watched the transfer, Scott, of $100 trillion stolen from the American people that I've investigated clear back to the 70s that they were doing. That transferred in a year period of time with Brownstein, the attorney of record, moved into the hands of Larry Mizell. Now, Leonard Milman had $100 trillion. What did his family get? They got a $50 billion estate, which they robbed half of it, et cetera. What's interesting is that these two APEC directors were the ones laundering the money, Norman Brownstein. He went by Norman Brownstein and Philip Brownstein. He had offices in Washington, D.C., Denver, Colorado, and Mexico City, Mexico. And when he testified in the Citicorp money laundering, which Milman owned Citicorp at the time, the money laundering from Solanas, the president of Mexico and his drugs that, you know, he basically had to leave his country over, Brownstein was there testifying. Brownstein was the connection to one hell of a lot of fraud. He set up Dominion Software. And I did the trail with this, Scott. I haven't put my report up because I saved every document. There were over 60 documents to Dominion. But it went back on Dominion as an example that I don't know whether Sydney's familiar with or not. But in the process of the registration and the moving things around through this the corporate structure out of Denver, Colorado, it shuffles into the DNC's registered in there, Democratic National Committee, all kinds of fake front corporations, divisions of this that was there. The end result was, Scott, in my investigation, I still haven't put the report up because I haven't had time, but it ends up in the hands now of the Walton Family Trust at their address in Little Rock, Arkansas, where Dominion now is being controlled from, supposedly. Now, that's Sam Walton. They were involved heavily in Iran-Contra drugs, Walton's Walmart, et cetera. That's how it was built. Drug. Now, Patrick Fung played a big role, in my opinion, in a lot of espionage against the United States of America. He was also, according to, he wrote a book. He was a White House, or he's a journalist. He worked with Terry Reed and Bill McCoy, famous investigator, worked with them. I'm trying to think, Ambrose Pritchard. And he wrote a book about, remember the Lincoln bedroom when Clintons were in the White House, Scott?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was Patrick Fong, the Lincoln bedroom scandal, where it was trading secrets for contributions that came out of there. You might, because you're an attorney and investigation that you're aware of, you might mention that. I'll get a report up, but also ran Dominion's IPs, and it is up on my website now. And it's interesting how it comes back to Chinese servers.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of these things that have been known for decades starting to, I think, really come to final fruition. So
I think
it's interesting. It's very interesting to see all this intel.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see who the players are, and it's the same ones. And they're all, in my opinion, you know, you've got two gods to serve. Either serve Jesus Christ, which is God Almighty, in my opinion, or else, you know, you serve Satan, self-serving. You're serving him. So, you know, we are down to the wire. I mean, if we were to put end-time prophecy on this, there's going to be a transition of time frame. There will be at some point, because God will keep his people safe. But people need to be warned in the spirit. They need to be putting the warring angels after them and continue exposing them. I'm seeing things. I'm praying with a couple of people, a couple of prayer warriors. I saw a hurricane move because of prayer, because they were right in the middle of it, Scott. That was recently, one of those hurricanes this past summer. I mean, it's, you know, the power of God, and you know it. I mean, things are strange.
Yeah.
They're not so strange. No.
Well, this is certainly the time for people to begin to take an assessment of who they are, what they have, who their family and friends are, their circles of trust, all necessary you know, tools for defending their homes, their property, their families are needed. And I don't expect any sort of a dystopian famine in America in the last, you know, 5, 10 years or 20 years or something. No, I think the people in this country, you know, just need to pray to God. The left and the progressives and the mad ones will destroy themselves, as we've seen. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. So don't be surprised if these left-wing Antifa, Black Lives Matter, just simply start shooting each other, destroying each other, engaging in a mass suicide of, you know, meltdown proportions, and not a single righteous person is lost. That's the very real and possible hand that God may deal. But at the same time, he may call people up to fight Goliath, as David was called, and hurl their stones in faith, and you know, have the conviction and the manhood that comes with felling giants, and the gratitude and humility to God for guiding that stone. So this is a time where I think you're going to witness a spiritual rebirth in America, not a spiritual death, but a spiritual rebirth. But at the same time, there are pockets in America that are hopelessly lost, and I don't think God wants anything to do with them anymore. I think those are the Sodom and Gomorrahs of America, whether it be areas of Hollywood, other areas of New York, areas where there's so much wickedness and demonism and evil and madness, areas of Chicago and such. I see that so radioactive and toxic that it's a dead zone. And people need – that's why you have a lot of people fleeing into the suburbs. They recognize that. And they recognize it's only going to get worse because the powers and the authorities – are prohibiting good people from defending themselves. They're prosecuting people like the McCloskeys for standing their ground and defending their home from a mob. And they're prosecuting young men like Kyle Rittenhouse, who was fleeing for his life because he was attacked and shot in self-defense, some hoodlum Antifa criminals, and they arrested and prosecuted him. That tells us that the police and the prosecutors and the attorneys are on the side of evil and wickedness, and no one should put themselves under their jurisdiction. starting to do that. People are having to come out of some of these dead zones. But in going into the zones of life, they need to make sure that they're in no way followed. And every means to preserve communities and to prevent the infection of communities with some of these bad people needs to be exercised. So I think we're going to recognize a whole new reorientation of society that is really probably going to fragment the country into regions and parts, and you're not going to have this, well, we're all one America, we're all one nation, we're all one United States. No, we're not. You have cultures and personalities in Alabama that are not the same as Idaho, and that are not the same as Seattle, and that are not the same as New Hampshire. And that has always been understood as America's strength. And the liberal progressives have tried to destroy all of that individuality under a federalism that I think is going to be cast off. So this is going to be a time of great political awakening and possible bloodshed to allow the continuum of that political awakening. There are those who are going to try and silence people, stop an affirmation of their rights and sovereignty, and people have a choice. Are you going to be stopped, or are you going to stop that person, agent, agency that is trying to stop you by all means necessary?
Now, Scott, when it comes to the vaccination and this COVID virus crap, I think you've got it analyzed the way I do somewhat. I'll ask you your opinion. But I see it as chemtrails. I see it as 5G. I see it as the mark of the beast. And it's got a DNA changer in it. And it's gone so far now that they've had on the national news the past couple of days about a pharmacist up in Wisconsin or someplace dumping loads of vaccinations, saying it's got the DNA changer in it. She tested it. And now they got her, we're going to file charges against her for trying to put a stop to people getting vaccinated with the DNA changer. What's your opinion of that? Of this whole thing about the
I think that's probably right. I mean, I subscribe to all of that. Number one, it's not a real terror threat. It is not a real plague or danger. God says no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. And there are flus and colds that people are susceptible to, but are fought off by your immune system. And everything that has been introduced in the form of vaccines and such, I think, has had a terrible cost on human society. It's transformed some of these young children into zombie-like mentally crippled Asperger's disease and syndromes and all of these autism and all of these things that have risen in the last 50 years. So this vaccine, I think, is absolutely death to whoever gets it. But there are those people who want death. There are those people who will get it that, you know, in one sense, as I've talked to Jim Fetzer about, it is sort of a form of, herd sort of evolution, if you will. The people who are getting this are all Democrats, fear-mongering idiots, and cowards and slaves that have no faith in God, have no understanding, are really dead in their souls, and they're rushing to this humanism and this worship of the state and the medicine, and as they worship the media for all truth. So these people deserve to die. They deserve what they get. They deserve. They're wanting to go that way. And it's not my business to get in their way. I proclaim the truth, and I confront people and say, these vaccines are a lie. There are more and more material coming out showing that these things are DNA-altering corrosives. And under the Constitution and indeed the law of man, the law of God, the natural law, no one can be forced to get a vaccine. No one could be forced to have any needle puncturing their arm. That was affirmed by the natural law, the Nuremberg hearings that prosecuted a lot of the Nazi experimentation, and indeed it's rooted in man's natural freedom and existence. So no one should ever get a vaccine, and I would say no one should submit to a test. No one should submit in any way and fight by all means necessary anyone trying to stick a syringe in your arm or stick a Q-tip up your nose to penetrate your brain-sinus connection. All of that stinks with corruption and death.
Yep.
This is the time people should reject all of that, but not be surprised if half the population are so stupid and mindless and cowardly that they rush towards getting it. The next phase, of course, will be, will you see a massive black plague, if you will, that wipes out all of these people who got the vaccine? My guess is you will.
Yeah, plus, the vaccination has the mark of the beast in it. It's got that chip in it. Now, I have a former attorney, former prosecutor friend, and she sent me a link. By the time I got the damn link up on the internet, it was gone. But it was a masterpiece based on what I was told. The scientist took all three vaccinations from these three companies that have them out there, and he tested them. And it shows the DNA changer in it. It shows, he sits there and talks about the chip that they got in there. We'll have all your credit history, all your military history, all your criminal history, if you have any. It will have your health, all your health history, everything about you. The first time you go get swiped, one day you'll go to the teller. I mean, you'll be paying something at the grocery store, and you pull your card out, stick your card in, and they say, cards don't work anymore, sir. Did you get your vaccination? Oh, yeah. We'll stick out your arm over here, and we'll swipe it, and wham, they automatically enter it into him. That's the way it's going to be. That's what I'm hearing.
Those are the things that people rise up and die fighting, and they die with a smile on their face. They die with a hunger and aggression and a thrill to be doing battle for Lord's work. That's what the left and the progressive don't understand. There is a righteous joy in Samson as he kills 1,000 Philistines. You remember the jawbone of the ass and Samson killing 1,000 Philistines. I did the calculations, and that takes about 4 to 6 hours to kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, because you're swinging and swiping, and when you break it down, you know, like a Philistine every 2 or 3 seconds, that takes a few hours.
And that's a badass. That's the power of God there.
That's the power of God. That's the power of God. And that same power will animate his people today to defeat and destroy any and all agents and police and institutions or agents or anyone that stands and tries to act like a Philistine moving against Samson. God will animate his people to destroy them. And I think that's something we haven't seen since the birth of this country. It's easy to fight Indians. It's easy to fight British redcoats in 1776 and 1812 and all that jazz. But it's different in a Civil War environment. And I think we're entering a Civil War where you have Trump. Trump is Lincoln again, and Jefferson Davis is the Biden camp only. It's going to be overwhelming, and the Americans are going to fight. And the true witness is going to be, do the police, do the emergency, the FBI, marshals, all of these agents that have been given guns and given, quote, authority, or they think they have, are they going to be acting against the people? Or are they going to stand down and act against the criminals who are violating the Constitution? The Constitution is everything in this country. And the moment it is nullified by false authority, false actions, false claims, like Cuomo and such, then you have no more political contract. You have no more surrendering of jurisdiction. There is no more agreement. And if there's no more agreement, then you do enter sort of a tribal jungle survival of the fittest modality. And I'm fine with that. because as conservatives, we're naturally self-reliant. We're naturally rugged, independent thinkers. We do not exist in a sort of a state mind. We exist as individuals. That's what makes conservative patriots different from the scum that occupies much of the crevices of the rest of this country. But the real test is going to be the agencies and the police institutions where you have some really bad people who have engaged in false flag attacks, the FBI, the police, from various places, from Charlottesville, from the Sandy Hook events, the Boston Marathon bombing. All of those false flag attacks demonstrate that the police and the martial powers are enemies of the people. And the moment they become the enemies of the people, they are worthy of nothing but destruction. So the question is, how are they going to be acting in the coming weeks and months? Because their lives are on the line. People are not backing down, Stu, because they have nowhere to go other than the fire and death and madness of vaccine and slave existence. So people are going to rise up and fight to preserve their lives and freedoms. And then if they die in the process, you know, they welcome the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. And I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him." So love God, love truth and freedom and liberty and the blessings that he's given us, surrender them to no one, and fight like the entire war depends on you. And don't take prisoners, and don't acquiesce, and don't submit to any authority for any kind, and always assert and affirm your rights, and do not let anyone onto your property, and never answer any questions from anyone who represents the United States government or claims to.
That's good statement to make. You know, Scott, I keep hearing this word democracy, and when I hear it coming out of the mouths of these stooges on TV, I just want to grab a hold of them by the throat. I don't live in a democracy. I live in a republic with a constitution. Now, right now we're being infiltrated. And you mentioned Jim Fetzer. I had him on the last broadcast. And Fetzer mentioned, which I have posted today with this broadcast because I hadn't got it up because I had some things I had to take care of. Here's the point. 60 Minutes, Sunday, tried to ruin Jim Fetzer. Now, people can go to 60MinutesOvertime.com, 60MinutesOvertime.com, Posner, who was the supposedly Sandy Hook, he was a crisis actor. Sandy Hook was a drill. Well, Fetzer's got it right about Sandy Hook. He wrote a book, "No, I Died at Sandy Hook." Now, we talked about stooges on the air. First, it was about Alex Jones. Well, Alex Jones says something, "Oh, yeah, nobody died at Sandy Hook," or something. He said something a couple of times. Well, then Posner, which Jones is a stooge, he sues Jones. And here, Fetzer gives him all the evidence and the witnesses and everything, and he didn't use them intentionally and let his insurance company pay Posner. That was the key. Then when Fetzer goes in, Fetzer isn't allowed to produce any of this evidence. No justice for Fetzer because he gets sued by Posner. He shut him up over the book. It had pulled off of Amazon, the whole nine yards. You know the story. But here's the basic thing, is that they put on 60 Minutes Posner, and they were attacking Posner was a stooge, troll, created an organization now to help others that are being supposedly, what was the word, slandered, et cetera, death threatened, whatever, on the internet. And they had Gary Webb. He's done some good reporting on stuff. They had him up there on 60 Minutes, demonizing him. Now, his website was taken down a while back. I heard about it from someone. Now, here's the point. You got Posner out there admitting, and this is what Fetzer said, he's doing now. He's doing things to take down people off of the internet, off of Google, off of Twitter, off of Facebook, off of YouTube, etc. And he's right on target on this. Now, the second thing is, I hear that a little troll named Pete Santilli has a little radio show someplace, is in Washington, D.C., support Trump, and a guy named Alex Jones that we just talked about that set up Jim Fetzer. And Jim's a whistleblower, and he's correct about Sandy Hook. Now, this Pete Santilli, I want to tell people, I mean, they're trying to get in there as though they're big supporters. These are infiltrators. Jones makes $6 million a year. I don't. Do you, Jim? I mean, Scott? Neither one of us do. Okay.
He makes
$6 million. Alex Jones claims he makes $6 million. According to his ex-wife, she sued him, getting a huge alimony check.
Yeah.
Pete, there's another guy named Pete Santilli. Everybody's talking about, oh, these two are patriots, and they're in Washington. They aren't patriots. They're stooges, just like this Posner character. They're fake news. They're there to spin the patriots in this country. Let me tell you about Pete Santilli. Does anybody remember a few years back, maybe 10, 12 years ago, whatever it's been, there was going to be this truckers demonstrate and strike in Washington. And all these truckers went to Washington with their trucks and all this other stuff. And Pete Santilli was raising money for the truckers, and they could get their gas when they got to Washington and fill up here and fill up someplace else that they could fill up, and their gas would be paid for. Well, he raised about $100,000. He ran off the money. The truckers get there, and they never got any gas. That's Pete Santilli. I just thought I'd mention it, folks. We're coming down to the wire. You're going to see these stooges come out of the woodwork. You're seeing them now. They are gone crazy, bat shit nuts. And they're going to get nuttier, like Scott has said. They're showing the colors, are they not, Scott?
They're showing their true colors. They're showing their true allegiance, and people just need to really follow their hearts and their trusted sources. You can always tell liars by their nervousness and their bullying and their attempt to overwhelm and guide the narrative with their topics and viewpoints and perspectives. And, that's the tell. So I see that in Alex Jones. I mean, people that we were with in Washington, Millie Weaver was with us in Washington, and I think she's a great gal. And she came out of the Alex Jones experience, and they tried to shut her down. They tried to arrest her, and her arrest was because she released Shadowgate. And
I'm glad you brought all that up.
The second and third part coming out, and they tried to arrest her. That was all orchestrated under at a SCIF in Patterson. I think it was Fort Patterson Air Base or something. And that's the same base that they orchestrated Susan Lindauer's arrest. So the deep state has certainly got its agents. But Millie Weaver, I think, is a great source for people to listen to. I trust her. She was part of the team back in Washington. Patrick Byrne is a great source. I met him and again, was part of his team. And, of course, Sidney Powell and General Flynn. So there's very few people that you can put a lot of trust into, but I would certainly encourage people to listen and trust, Sidney Powell, Millie Weaver, Pat Byrne, and General Flynn.
Well, I appreciate you bringing her up because I was going to bring her up about Jones, and you're right on target on this stuff. Scott, I'd like to take this to prayer, but before, give out your website and give your last words.
Well, people can follow me at shellgamewhistleblower.com. Go to shellgamewhistleblower.com, and it's got my contact information and stuff up there. And people can also go to Twitter, and it's Nexus Think Tank on Twitter. And my email is on my website. And I would just encourage people to get ready for standing their ground. This is not a time to be afraid in any way whatsoever. We have the high ground. We have the moral ground. We are fighting to preserve our life, our liberty, our property, our independence. We are not the brain-dead schizophrenics of the progressive left, so we will not have any fellowship with them. We will not have anything to do with them. What fellowship is light with darkness? have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate. These are the instructions that the Lord gives us. And it is not subject to the Democrat leftist slave mentality they're trying to cultivate. We have to reject all of that, and I think it all starts tomorrow, and be prepared for 30 days of chaos and violence and madness that the left is going to do, but at the same time, people should be prepared for countering those actions, and do not be afraid, and do not be, in my estimation, if you're required to intercede and defend someone's life by using lethal force, I would certainly do that and encourage that. But I would also encourage people to recognize that the police and these detectives and the political powers are not your friends. And if you have to be engaged in kinetic operations and lethal operations, I would personally not wait around to file any reports. I would not stand by and be interviewed by a policeman because I had to defend an old lady from some gang member or some black-clad baklava Antifa thug. I would just do what's necessary and get out of there. That would be my own personal choice of tactical maneuverability, because I know for a fact they are not the friends of patriots, and this is something that is required. Almost you can characterize it like guerrilla warfare for righteous purposes, righteous causes, and people need to be prepared mentally to be in that position. This is not a time for the timid, and pray without ceasing, and God will give you strength and guidance.
Very well said. You know, the Marine Corps taught me, we don't take prisoners. Someone else can take their name.
Yes.
So that's the way I'm looking at it. It's going to come down. I know it is. So whether it's going to be politicians or it's going to be a Tifa or Black Lives Matter, and that doesn't mean all black people.
Right.
I mean, you know, the ones that are Black Lives Matter are the ones going in and robbing, looting, and burning folks.
Right.
They're the ones. They're the terrorists. But regular black people that got out on the street and demonstrated this past year, you know, holding up signs in support of Black Lives Matter, didn't even know that they were being fooled. They're
right.
Just trying to bring justice to these police personnel that
yes.
seem to be out of control. They're
yes.
out of control with the people in America, period. So
yes.
I just
that's right. See, the problem is, too, a lot of these police forces are trained by Israeli defense IDF forces, and they
yep.
treat everybody like Palestinians. They treat everybody like war criminals.
Yep.
And they think that they can go in there and abuse people and get away with it. And that's been the problem. The police have behaved in that sort of a way, and it's had a very destructive effect on them because the people no longer trust them. They no longer trust or like the police when they behave like that, especially, you know, some of the black communities and stuff. So that's been the root of this, is the Israeli training of our police as IDF forces, and that has created a toxic environment where the police behave in an almost prisoner of war mentality. And we are not prisoners of war. We are not subject to these sort of conditions or attitudes. We are free men and women in a republic that we are owners of. We are not sharecroppers or slaves. We are owners of this republic, the American citizens. And this is something that needs to be said really by white Anglo-Saxon, Caucasian, if you will, citizens to the police. To say there is a legitimate grievance, and it's because you've behaved like Israeli defense forces in Palestine. That's mm-hmm. not what Kansas is. That's not what Utah is. That's not what Florida is. So we need to do an adjustment away from that, and then you will see a lot of the grievances of the black community, I think, really be dispelled. And would go down.
So I think that, you know, people will separate. We're going to see that. But, Scott, we're getting ready to face something big, and the only thing that's going to be the powerful one is that we've got to be praying. And, folks, we'll get through this. So, Scott, with that, we're up to about an hour and 15 minutes in this conversation, and I think you've said it all. You take us
well, thanks, Sue. It's been an honor to be with you, my friend. And let's just pray, Father in heaven, we ask your blessing on the people of this country, on our President Donald Trump, on Stu Webb and his broadcast and his listeners. We ask your angels to surround us and protect us and give us the direction and the calling in our lives. You say, I shall give thee a tongue thine enemies cannot gainsay nor resist. Let us all be warriors with the words of truth. Let us reclaim our Constitution and our freedoms and our heritage that you've given us. Let us be fearless and give all of our enemies and all of your enemies, Father, madness and blindness and send them falling backwards and give us a jubilee and a rebirth of America in the way that you would have us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I'm in agreement, and I say in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, Father, and by your stripes. I'm in agreement with Scott, but also ask, Father, that you bring those people that are the enemy, either bring the salvation or destroy them, Father. And I ask for warring angels against this government and all the corruption. And I ask, Father, to protect the warriors who will come out and defend this country over the next period of time. And I ask for angels' protection around Scott. Psalms 92, we ask, it shall be done. I believe in you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Scott, thank you very much for being on with me.
Thank you, Stu. We'll see you again next time.
Okay. Talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.